إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة والأخوات في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته إن شاء الله we'll continue the sharh of the book بلوغ المرام by الحافظ ابن حجر من العسقلاني رحمه الله تعالى still on the book of الطلاق or the chapter of الطلاق وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال إذا حرم الرجل امرأته ليس بشيء وقال لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة رواه البخاري ولمسلم عن ابن عباس إذا حرم الرجل امرأته فهي يمين يكفرها Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, إِذَا حَرَّمَ الرَّجُلُ مُرَأْتَهُ لَيْسَ بِشَيْءٍ If a man says to his wife, or says concerning his wife, you are forbidden unto me, or my wife is forbidden unto me, لَيْسَ بِشَيْءٍ He said, that doesn't mean anything. وقال, he said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ For you, in the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, a good example. رواه البخاري. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى recorded it in his Sahih. ولمسلم in the report of Al-Imam Muslim from Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه he said إذا حرم الرجل if a man says to his wife or concerning his wife إذا حرم الرجل مرأته فهي يمين يكفرها the ruling for this when a man says to his wife you are forbidden unto me or my wife is forbidding unto me, فَإِيَّ يَمِينٌ يُكَفِّرُهَا The ruling is the ruling of yamin, that is the one who swear that he will do something and he does not do it. The one who swears to do something and he doesn't do it. The ruling is in the book of Allah. Firstly, for a man to say to his wife, you are haram to me, this statement is incorrect. Because when you tell your wife that your wife is haram to you, it's either you are talking about the reality, which is not true. Because if she is your wife, how can she be haram to you? She is not your mother. Nor is she your sister, or one of those that you cannot marry forever. How can you not say she's haram to you? She's forbidden to you. Which means that statement made by that man is an incorrect statement. But if the man intends by that statement what the scholars would call insha, that is wanting to make his wife haram to eat, wanting to make his wife haram to eat, that is a means by it that the wife is divorced. It means by it that the wife is divorced. This will be insha. But if it is khabar, that is the information that the man is given, this is incorrect. Unless if the wife is his mother or his sister or somebody that he cannot marry forever, like his aunt and his maybe paternal or maternal. But this is not what the man intends. What the man intends is that he wants to make his wife divorce. He wants to divorce his wife. He now uses the word anti alayya haram. You are haram unto me. You are haram unto me. And that is why the scholars, they say this is not something that is good. For a man to say to his wife, you are haram unto me. If you want to divorce your wife, come out to say, I divorce you. This is good. Than using what? Ambiguous words that can lead to something else. So for you to say, anti alayya haram, you are haram unto me. What do you mean? What do you mean by this statement? And that is why the scholars, in trying to get the meaning of this statement, you are forbidden unto me, they have about 13 or so interpretations of this. As Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala brought in some of his book, that is the interpretation of the word anti alayya haram, you are forbidden unto me, can mean what? Talaq. Can even mean azhihar. What is azhihar? Azhihar is the practice of the Arabs that they would do when a man is not interested in his wife anymore. He may say to her, anti alayya kazari ummi, you are like my mother's back to me. You are like my mother's back. Just like as I cannot sleep with my mother, I can no longer sleep with you. This is called zihar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ مَا أُمَّ أُمَّهَاتِهِمْ إِنْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّائِي وَلَدْنَهُمْ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَ مُنْكَرًا مِنَ الْقَوْلِ وَالزُّورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who practice jihar amongst you concerning your wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your wives are not your mother. Likening the back of your wife to the back of your mother, that if I cannot sleep with my mother, I can no longer sleep with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِهِمْ, their wives are not their mothers. إِنْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَدْنَهُمْ, their mothers are those who gave birth to them. So you can't liken the back of your wife to your mother, because your wives are not your mothers. Your mothers are those who gave birth to you. إِنْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَدْنَهُمْ, their mothers are those who give birth to them. وَإِنَّمْ لَيَقُولُونَ مُنْكَرًا مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, this statement is a bad statement that it makes, likening the birth of their wives to that of their mother. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned against this and frowned at it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having frowned at it, now talks about the ruling. He now said, وَالَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ, as for those who practice zihar concerning their wives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ, فتحرير الرقبة. They should set free the slave من قبل أن يتماس before they come back together. The first ayah addresses the fact that what is munkar min al-kawl is a bad statement. To liken your wife to your mother, to compare your wife to your mother, that your back is like the back of my mother. The way I cannot sleep with my mother, I can no longer sleep with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is munkar min al-kawl. But apart from this, what is the ruling if somebody says this? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who say that, فَتَحْرِيُوا رَقَبَى, they should set free a slave, that is a believing slave, مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَتَمَاسَ, before they can have sex with one another. ذَلِكُمْ تُعَذُونَ بِهِ, Allah says this is what I admonish you with. The shahid here is that some scholars, they say the person who tells his wife, anti alayya haramun, you are haram on me. They said, we can give you the rule of zihar. Because the one who tells his wife, your back is like the back of my mother, with the intention that what, I cannot sleep with you anymore. So such a person is forbidding his wife or to himself. So the one who says, anti alayya haramun, you are haram on me, he said the ruling should be zihar. And this is the favorite opinion of Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, that the one who says to his wife, you are forbidden unto me, should accept something that is what? That is evil. He accepts something that is evil. What is now the ruling? What is the punishment? What is the ruling for that? The ruling is what? It's for him to set free a slave, a believing slave, before both of them can come together. So Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah treated it as zihar. Some scholars said it is not zihar. We are going to treat it as a kind of yameen, a kind of yameen. Yameen is for one to swear that one is going to do something. So if one doesn't do it, then one will have to do kafara, expiation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the expiation of the one who says he will do something, then he doesn't do it, or he feels like not doing it. Allah says, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ إِطْعَامُ عَشَرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِيكُمْ. The kafara of such a thing is for you to feed 10 poor people. مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ أَهْلِيكُمْ, from what you give to your own family, from what you eat and what you give to your family, the type of the food that you eat. So you feed 10 poor people, أَوْ كِسْوَتُهُمْ, or you close them, أَوْ تَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ, or you set free a slave. Allah says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ, whoever cannot find that, فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ, he should now fast for 3 days. ذَلِكَ كَفَّارَةُ أَيْمَانِكُمْ إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ, this is the expiation of your oath if you swear an oath. Now this is yameen. Somebody say, wallahi I'm going to do so and so, or wallahi I'm not going to do so and so. In not act contrary to what you have said. This is the kafara. To feed them poor people, or to set free a slave, or to clothe them, or to set free a slave. He has what? He can do any of this. Feeding them poor people, clothing them, or setting free a slave. He can do any of these three. But if he can't find any of these three, he's unable to do any of these three, then he will resort to fasting 3 days. In some of the Qira'at Shazza, as you see the qira'ah of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, فصيام ثلاثة أيام متتابعة, fasting 3 consecutive days. But he will not resort to fasting unless he is unable to feed them poor people, or clothe them, or set free a slave. These ones are optional, he can do any of these. But in the absence of any of these, he will resort to fasting 3 days or 3 consecutive days. This is what Yameen. We are still coming to that, inshallah. But what you are trying to say is that if somebody says to his wife, "Anti alayya haram," you are haram on me. Scholars are confused. What is the ruling? Some say the ruling is what? Zihar. Because the one who tells his wife that your bark is like the bark of my mother has made that wife haram on himself, because it is haram for him to marry his mother. So if he likens the bark of his wife to that of his mother, so what he has said is that what? The wife is haram. So the one who now says it categorically, "Anti alayya haramun," what should be the kafara to such a thing? It's what? The kafara of zihar. وَالَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ, those who do zihar of their mother, of their wives, Allah says what? فَطَارِهُ رَقَبَةٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ ثُمَّ يَعُودُونَ لِمَا قَالُوا فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَتَمَاسَّ. Then they go back to what they have said. You say your wife is haram, then you want to go and meet what is haram. So Allah says, ثُمَّ يَعُودُونَ لِمَا قَالُوا فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَتَمَاسَّ. So he should set free a slave. Then if he cannot do that, then he will fast 2 moons consecutively, or to feed 54 people, as Allah mentioned in the Quran. This is the realm of zihar. We are still coming to the realm of zihar. But what we are trying to say now is that somebody says to his wife, "You are haram on me," or "My wife is haram on me." He says it in the absence of the wife. Huh? You know, just as you can tell your wife, for instance, you are divorced, you can also send a message to her that, "Tell my wife that what? She is divorced." The same thing. "So you are haram on me," or "My wife is haram on me." So the one who says that, he has said something that is wrong. That is one aspect. The second aspect is that, what is the ruling on this? What is the ruling on this? So scholars, they differ concerning this issue into about 13 or so positions. So in this hadith, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, "Qala idha harrama ar-rajul imra'atahu laysa bi shay'." If a man says his wife is haram, laysa bi shay', it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything that is, the wife is not divorced. We won't say the wife is divorced. Because some scholars say, if a man says to his wife, "Anti alayya haram," it means what? He has divorced her. He has divorced her. So some scholars, they take it to mean what? You are divorced. Some scholars said, we have to ask, what do you mean by you are haram? Do you mean you divorced her? Or do you mean zihar? Or do you mean yameen? So scholars, they have different interpretations. Some said it to mean yameen, if what it means by that is yameen. That is, if what it means by that is oath. Take for instance, if a man says, "If you go out of this house, you have become haram on me." The man tells his wife, "If you go out of this house, you have become what? Haram on me." So what does it mean? Does it mean you are divorced? Or does it mean wanting her not to do something contrary to what he has said? So it's a very controversial issue among the scholars. But Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, yeah, laysa bishay', that is, it will not be considered to be what? Divorce. وقال ان سيدنا قد كان لكم في رسول الله اسوه حسنه فيو and the messenger of Allah is good example. What is a good example? Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu laka tabtaghi mardata azwajika wallahu ghafurur rahim. There are two reports to this verse. The first one and the one that is contained in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and the Sunnah, and many other books of Ahadith. The Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered one day the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. Before he entered the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, he was in the house of one of the wives by name Zainab bint Jash radiallahu anha. He was in the house of Zainab, and Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed here longer. So Aisha radiallahu anha now said to Hafsa that if Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes to your house, tell him that you can smell something of mazafir in his mouth. That is, the odor coming from his mouth is something of mazafir. So mazafir is something that is somehow repugnant, so to say. The odor that one would not want to hear. So if it comes to me, I will say similar things. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got to the house of Aisha. She said to him, have you eaten mazafir? Messenger of Allah said, no, I'm not eating mazafir. I only took honey in the house of Zainab. When he got to Hafsa, she said similar thing. Have you eaten mazafir? Said, no, I've only taken the honey. So both of them said, maybe the honey that you have taken, you know, struck from the tree of mazafir, something of raw food. So, and that's why your mouth is smelling of mazafir. So both of them, they planned this, just as women want to do at times, in order to attack Zainab radiallahu anha. There are some other reports that some said it is the upland against Hafsa, but the more correct version is that both Aisha and Hafsa radiallahu anhuma, both of them, they plotted against Zainab, so, and they cooked up that thing. So since then, Messenger of Allah, when both of them said complaints about this, Aisha complained of the mouth smelling of mazafir, Hafsa complained of the mouth smelling of mazafir, and he knew that he never ate mazafir, he had only taken honey. So now said, I will never take honey again. I will never take honey again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Prophet, lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu laka. Why are you forbidding on yourself what Allah has made permissible to you? Tabtaghi mardata azwajik, trying to get the favor, the pleasure of your wives. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. But Allah is ghafur, is rahim. Allah is ghafur, all forgiven, rahim, all merciful. So you shouldn't forbid on yourself what Allah has made halal. And that's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At times if he detests something, he will say, I detest this. I am not prohibiting it on people. Like the day they went somewhere and they were presented with a double lizard. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not eat it. Khalid bin Walid رضي الله عنه يوم يسجد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحرام بو إبيت حرام يسجد الله سيج ليس لي أن أحرم ما لم يحرم الله It's not in my hand to forbid what Allah has not forbidden. ولكنه ليس بأرض قوم فعافه It's not in the land of my people, so I detest it. I don't want to eat it. And now the Messenger of Allah does not have the right to make something haram by himself, except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. So the shahid is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, if you don't do that, don't prohibit something on yourself that you are not going to eat so-and-so anymore. Why are you prohibiting the eating of honey? Because you want to get the pleasure of your wife? No. To tell him of God as wajik wallahu ghafurur rahim. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this chapter, this surah, in order to correct the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time to correct those wives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ تَحِلَّةَ أَيْمَانِكُمْ Allah has made for you tahillata imanikum, the way you come out of your yameen. You know, it's sure that he's not going to eat, wallahi, I'm not going to eat so and so anymore. So Allah said what? He has given you the law, what to do to come out of your oath. Tahillata imanikum. قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ تَحِلَّةَ أَيْمَانِكُمْ والله عليم حكيم. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? وَإِذْ أَصَرَّ النَّبِيُّ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا And when the Messenger of Allah concealed or confidingly in one of his wives, حَدِيثًا something. فَلَمَّا نَبَّعَ بِي وَأَظْهَرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَرَّفَ بَعْدَهُ وَعَرَضَ عَنْ بَعْدِ So Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was told that I ate, I took her on, and the same thing was said to Hafsa. So both of them, they used this as well as a kind of a plot. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the plot of both of them. Allah said, "What in tatuba ila Allah faqad sagat qulubukuma." In both of you, from what you have done, if you repent to Allah, then your hearts have what? Have tilted towards the truth, towards piety. وَإِنْ تَظَاهَرَ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ But if both of you continue to do this lot, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his mawla. The mu'minun are the mawla of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَصَالِحُ Meaning, and the malaika they are also what? Is Mawla. So this chapter or this verse is the kind of rebuke for Aisha radiallahu anha and Hafsa radiallahu anha, because what both of them did was wrong. So and that is why the men and the women, we should learn lessons from our pious predecessors. Areas that they made mistakes, a good wife tried to avoid those areas that the pious women of the past made a mistake. Then where they are good, a good woman tried to emulate them in that aspect. Those things happened so that what? So that we learn. Because if you look at what Allah said, in tatuba ila Allah, faqad sagat qulubukuma. وَإِنْ تَضَاءَرَ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمُولَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ ظَهِيرٌ So, this tells us that the companions, they made mistakes on some issues, and Allah corrected them. So it won't be okay for a believer to now be following their errors where they made mistakes. No. Allah corrected them so that one fault is similar mistakes. And the areas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised them, Allah wants us to emulate them in those areas. So Messenger of Allah was corrected in this surah, لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ ما أحل الله لك تبتغي مرضات أزواجك والله غفور رحيم الله نتوجهين قد فرض الله لكم تحلة أيمانكم والله مولاكم وهو العليم الحكيم سو الله سبحانه وتعالى يسي مولا أن إذا العليم الحكيم سو دي تحلة أيمان is what we read earlier that Allah سبحانه وتعالى said فكفارته إطعام عشرة مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوتهم أو تحرير رقبة لأن الله فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام ذلك كفارة أيمانكم إذا حلفتم فاحفظوا أيمانكم So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring the person to do what? To do yamin. Now in this case, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade something on himself. And the ruling of yamin is given to that. Is this clear? He said, Wallahi I won't eat this thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now said, when you say Wallahi I will not eat this thing, it's like what? Forbidding unto yourself this particular thing. Then the ruling is what? So the one who says, my wife is haram on me. So it's like the person is vowing. It's like the person is taking an oath that the wife is haram. So and that's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, وَلِي مُسْلِمِنَ ibn عَبَّاسِ And for Imam Muslim, and the report of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said what? إِذَا حَرَّمَ الرَّجُلِ مِرَاتَ If a man says, my wife is forbidden on me, فَهِيَ يَمِينٌ يُكَفِّرُهَا That statement is considered a vow that he will expiate for. Because Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will not eat to eat what? Eat honey. And Allah says what? لِمَا تُحَرِّمُ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَكَ تَبْتَغِي مَرْضَاتَ أَزْوَاجِكَ So Allah is the word haram here. So if somebody says, my wife is haram on me, so the same thing should what? Should be applied here. The ruin of yameen should also be applied. So this is what Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said. So if somebody says, my wife is haram on me, and his intention is that it means talaq, then in that case, some scholars said we treat it as talaq. A man says to his wife, you are haram on me. If his intention is that what is talaq, we treat it as talaq. If his intention is like the way he cannot sleep with his mother, he can no longer sleep with his wife, then we treat it as what? Zihar. And if his intention is to correct the wife, not that he's really interested in making the wife haram on himself, but he says, if you should go to that place, you have become haram on me. So the third watch, if his intention is to threaten the wife, then he should treat it as what? Yamin. I hope it is clear. So some scholars, they say this. So this is what Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is talking about. The one who says his wife is haram. Particularly if the intention is to threaten the wife to do something or not to do something. But if he says the intention is what? Is zihar, then this the ruling of zihar will be applicable. If he says the intention is talaq, the ruling of talaq will be applicable. As I said earlier, the scholars this were concerning this. But the issue is that don't say your wife is haram on you. Don't use the word you are haram on me. Because this is a controversial issue. If one wants to divorce one's wife, he should go open, make it known to her, you are divorced. This is better than what bringing things that will be ambiguous. That they will be asking you, what do you mean by this, what do you mean by this. So doing tahrim, this is not something that is okay. Saying my wife is haram on me if so and so happens, or if she does so and so, she has become haram on me. وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها from عائشة من الله بفضلها أن ابنة الجوني لما أدخلت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ودنا منها قالت أعوذ بالله منك فقال لقد عدت بعظيم الحق بأهلك رواه البخاري from Aisha may Allah be pleased with her she said that an Ibn al-Jawni a lady called Ibn al-Jawn she said her name is Umayma just like the name of the mother of Abu Uwayra radiallahu anhu whose name is also Umayma this lady is also said to be Umayma لما أدخلت على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم when she was brought to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم as a wife ودنا منها and Messenger of Allah moved close to her قالت she said أعوذ بالله منك I seek refuge with Allah from you فقال Messenger of Allah said لقد عدت بعظيم you have sought refuge which a great one il haki bi halik go to your people Rawahu al-Bukhari al-Imam Bukhari reported this the reason the author rahimahullah ta'ala brought this hadith is to tell us that the word il haki bi ahlik go to your people can mean what divorce just as you have said before. If somebody tells his wife, go to your people, it can mean divorce, and it can mean other than divorce. So this is called kinaya. Kinaya is different from al-lafzu sarih. Al-lafzu sarih is a clear term, a clear wording. But kinaya is a kind of allusion, not saying it in a very clear term. So this lady, Ibn al-Jawn, when she was married to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's like the lady was not submissive completely from her reaction to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She didn't know much about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the family have been spoken with and they have given her hand in marriage to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But wanting to approach your wife and the wife said, A'udhu billahi mink. A'udhu billahi mink. So that means she has something in her mind. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not hesitate and didn't waste his time. He said to her, الحكي بأهلك go to your people go to your people so from this scholar is said this type of talaq is talaq with kinaya not with Allah the Sari clear wording we also benefit from it the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very important that we impose himself on people because if he would impose himself on people, he wouldn't have said to the ladies, Al-Haki bi ahlik. Because the statement of that lady is an indication that she was not ready for the marriage. So unlike somebody that would say, okay, they should go and watch, take somebody, take a lady and bring her to his palace and watch marriage has started. No. That is not correct. The person is not a slave. So this is the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not treat the lady as if he was handling the case of a slave. When the lady showed, you know, a kind of disapproval of it, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Il haki bi alik, go to your people." So we benefit and we learn from this hadith. The way Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will relate with people. It's not somebody who do things forcefully. It's not somebody who will take the wealth of the companions in a forceful way. So this is the lesson from the hadith of Ibn al-Jawl. So this is also telling us that talaq can be with a term that is not sarih, that is not clear. So in a situation like this, the intention of the one who has uttered it will be asked, what do you intend by this? So a man tells his wife, go to your family. It can mean talaq, and it can mean other than talaq. So who will tell us that it means talaq, and it means, or it means other than talaq? It is the man himself. It is the man himself. So that's why we have what is called al-lafdhu as-sarih and kinaya. Now if somebody uses a word that is clear, like he says, anti-talik, you are divorced, do we need to wait for his intention to know whether he means it or not? No, we don't need it. As we mentioned the other time, if we should accommodate this, people will be playing with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People will be playing with the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has said it's anti-talik, you are divorced. So divorce is a clear term. So this is what love is for it. But when somebody says the ilhaqi bi ahlik, go to your people, or anti musarraha, you are let loose. So, or something like that. So this is what will be kinaya. In a situation like this, you have to sit the man down. The qadi will ask the man, what do you mean by this? If he says it means talaq, then we treat it as talaq. If he says no, I do not mean talaq, then we don't take it as talaq. We don't take it as talaq. But if it is wording that is clear, that means talaq clearly, so we don't ask for his intention. We don't ask for his intention. If somebody uses words that does not mean talaq at all, and he says he meant talaq by age, are we going to accept that? Like somebody tells his wife, Rukurdi, sit down. And when he was asked, what do you mean by sit down, he said, I mean I divorce him. No, this will not be taken, because it has no connection with talaq at all. It doesn't mean talaq at all. Not only by inference, you cannot infer from it that what it means, talaq. So we should understand this. وعن جابر رضي الله عنه from جابر بن الله بفليز الدين قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا طلاق إلا بعد نكاح ولا عتق إلا بعد ملك رواه أبو يعلى وصححه الحاكم وهو معلول. This hadith is weak, but the author brings it because some of the fuqaha, they will use it as evidence, and the reason he has put this book is to bring all the ahadith, or most of the hadith that scholars of different madhahib, they will use as evidences for some of their positions, whether the hadith is authentic or not authentic. And that's why he explained here that the hadith is what is ma'lul. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is said to have said, la talaq ba'd al-nikah illa ba'd al-nikah, there is no talaq except after nikah. This is not correct. That is, the hadith is not authentic. But it is correct that you cannot divorce somebody until after you are married to the person. Until you are married to the person. Contrary to what some scholars have said. Some scholars have the opinion that you can divorce somebody even before marrying the person. How? You can say, if I marry Zainab, she's divorced. So when you go to do the amdu of Zainab, so what you have suspended, so to say, will happen. Because you have said, what if I marry Zainab, she is divorced. So as the marriage is being concluded, the divorce is what is following. So this is the argument of the scholars. This is the argument of those scholars who said divorce can come before marriage. But what most scholars are upon, and what is correct, is that no divorce before marriage. It is the person that you are married to that you can say you are divorcing. So if you are not married to somebody, how can you say I'm divorcing the person? Or the one who says, any lady I get married to, she's divorced. Any lady I get married to, she's divorced. So meaning what? Immediately he does amd with a lady, so what he has said will come. And that is what the lady is divorced, because he did ta'liq of the divorce. He suspended, he premised it on him getting married to the person. Then as he gets married to the person is divorced. But what most scholars are upon is that this is not correct. So you don't have any influence or power on that person by at the time you are saying you are divorcing her. So it is after you are married to the person that you can say, okay, I divorce. Now if somebody is not married to a person and is a person divorcing, as you have said and you have read from the Quran, so if the person divorces the lady after the marriage, even before consummation, if for a genuine reason, as we have read before, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tala juna alaykum in talaqtum al-nisa ma lam tamassuhunna aw tafrujuhunna fariida, no sin on you if you divorce women when you have not slept with them, or you have not made mention of any amount of mar that you are going to give them. Allah said, no sin. فَمَتِّعُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوسِعِ قَدَرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُوْقِرِ قَدَرُهُ مَتَعًا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. But try to give them something in order to make them happy, because the act has been completed. But now you are opting out of the marriage, though you have not slept with them, and you have not promised you are going to give a particular amount as the man. But for us to say nikah can take, talaq can take place before abdu, so this is not correct. What we have in the Quran is what? Talaq taking place after abdu. Whether before consummation, before the mahr being mentioned, or after consummation, or after the mahr has been mentioned. So, but before abdu, talaq cannot take place. لا طلاق إلا بعد نكاح. There is no talaq except after nikah. ولا عتق إلا بعد ملك. You cannot set free a slave except after you have taken possession of the slave. The slave that does not belong to you, you can't say you are setting free the slave. Okay, if I buy that slave, it's free. If I buy Zayd, who is a slave now, if I buy him, then he's free. Is that correct? So some scholars have said it's correct, because this is an act of kindness. It's an act of kindness. But the scholars who say it's not correct as well is that before you can set somebody free, you buy the person first. So when you buy the person, then you can talk about setting the person free or not. So Rawahu Abu Ya'la recorded this. وَصَحَهُ الْحَاكِمُ and Al-Hakim said it's authentic, وَهُوَ مَعْلُولٌ, but it is defective. The hadith is weak. وَأَخْرَجَ ابْنُ مَاجَةَ ابْنُ مَاجَةَ reported مِنَ الْمِسْوَرِ بِنْ مَخْرَمَ from Mislu. Miswar, the son of Makhrama, Mithla, or something similar. Wa isnadu hasan. It said the shame is hasan, like innahu ma'lulu aydan. But it also has a kind of illa. Then this Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala authenticated that of al-Miswar, the son of Makhrama. So the shahid here is that there is no talaq before marriage. There is no talaq before marriage. Any talaq that is going to come should be after marriage. You can't say you divorce somebody that you have not married. A man and a woman, or a girl and a boy, they meet one another and they start life. Then the man says after that I divorce you. Which type of divorce is that? No nikah between both of you originally. So all that you have been engaging in is what is zina. Because no talaq without nikah. Before you can say you divorce someone, there must be nikah. So there is no nikah. So there is no talaq. And that's why the children that come out of this type of relationship, they are said to be what? Aulad zina. The children of zina. And they will be ascribed to the lady. They will be ascribed to the lady, not to the man, according to the jumhur of the scholars. So they are children of the lady, not the man. Because there is no aqdu shar'i, no legal aqdu between them. When Amr ibn Shu'ayb and Abi, from Amr ibn son of Shu'ayb, from his father and Jaddi, from his grandfather, قال قارئ صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا نفر لابن آدم فيما لا يملك. The son of Adam cannot make a vow in what does not possess. ولا عتق له فيما لا يملك. He cannot set free a slave that he does not possess. ولا طلاق له فيما لا يملك. He cannot divorce what he does not have ability on. أخرجه أبو داود, أبو داود reported this, والترمذي and الترمذي وصححه, and he declared to be صحيح. ونكل عن البخاري أنه أصح ما ورد فيه. It was also reported from Bukhari that this is the most authentic narration concerning this matter. So this is also buttressing what has been said, that no talaq without nikah. There must be nikah before you can say you divorce somebody. And you don't vow concerning what you do not have. You can't say, if Allah does so and so for me, I'm going to do sadaqah with this building. And the building does not belong to you. So you can't do sadaqah with what does not belong to you. So la nazar li ibn Adam fima la yamlik. What should the son of Adam does not possess, he doesn't do nazar vow on that. وَلَا عِذْكَ لَهُ فِيمَا لَا يَمْلِكُ. What does not possess, he cannot say he's setting the person free. وَلَا طَلَقَ لَهُ فِيمَا لَا يَمْلِكُ. And he does not divorce what he does not possess. So you must have possessed a lady through marriage, through legal marriage, before you can talk about divorce. وَنَا عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَالْ. From Aisha, Allah be pleased with her, she said that the Prophet ﷺ said, رُفِي الْقَلَمُ وَانْصَلَافَ. The pen has been lifted from three persons, and in nine from the sleeping one, حَتَّى يَسْتَيْقِظْ, until he wakes up. وَانِصَغِيرْ, the young one, حَتَّى يَكْبُرْ, until he grows old, that is, he attains puberty. وَانِلْ مَجْنُونْ, the insane one, حَتَّى يَعْقِلْ, until he became sensible. أَوْ يُثِيقْ. رَوَاهُ أَحْمَدْ, Ahmad reported this. وَالْأَرْبَعَ, and the four, إِلَّا تِرْمِذِي, except تِرْمِذِي. وَصَحَاهُ الْحَاكِمْ, and Al-Hakim declared to be authentic. The connection is that somebody who is sleeping, and the person just says from his sleep that I divorce you, it doesn't count. Somebody who is asleep says to his wife, maybe the wife is at home, and the wife just says, I divorce you. And the man is asleep, so this doesn't count. Or the man says, I divorce my wife. The wife is not here, for instance, but somebody added it. And that person now take the information to the wife that the husband says he divorce you. So this doesn't count. Because the man is asleep, he doesn't know what is going on. Likewise, a young boy that his father marries a girl to, as they will practice in the past, that my young child, for instance, my young boy, I can show you, I'm marrying so-and-so, taking the hand of so-and-so lady. in marriage or girl in marriage, so that when the girl grows up, the father, they have already given consent to her marrying my son. So this Islamically, there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. So this boy, this young boy, can easily divorce. Huh? The boy of 7 or 8 says, "I divorced my wife." Does it count? So this scholar says, some scholar said, what? It doesn't count. Some said, if the boy understands what he's saying, it counts. Maybe he doesn't like the lady that has been married by the father, that the father has sought her hand in marriage. That if he understands what he's saying, then it is it counts. Then the madman said, "I divorced my wife." No, it doesn't count. Because the man doesn't know what he's saying. The man doesn't know what he's saying. So this hadith is what is authentic. So it is important that we understand this hadith and we try to ponder over them whenever we are taking any decision as far as our marital issue is concerned. This is the reason of reading this hadith. Before you take any stand or any position, any step concerning divorce, you should think twice and you should know the Sharia implication of what you are doing. As you said, so many people, they just take steps without thinking about the Sharia implication of what they are doing. Somebody has told his wife, "I divorced you," several times, and both of them are still living together in the same house, in the same room. Huh? This is what playing with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah says, "فَإِنْ طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ." If you know you are not the type that will be able to stand by the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't dabble towards the issue of talaq. No matter what frustration you get from your wife, don't utter the word, "I divorce you." Don't utter the word, "I divorce you." Even the word, "You are haram on me," avoid it. Huh? Avoid it. So that you won't be saying, "Is it Bihar? Is it Yemen? Is it Talak?" Avoid those things. So no matter the frustration that your wife will make you go through, likewise, no matter the frustration that your husband will make you go through as a woman, don't say, "I'm seeking for khulur." Because if you say, "Grant me khulur," and the man say, "I've granted you khulur, I've released you," you know that you are not the wife of the man anymore. If both of you want to come together again, you have to do new akdu. Without new akdu, it is zina that both of you are practicing. So you have to think well before you offer any statement as far as the Sharia is concerned. You have to think well. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about swearing, taking an oath, Allah said, "What? Fa'fadu aymanakum." Wash your oath, what you say. Because when you say something, it's going to have what? Religious ruling on that. And as Muslims, this is what we should be conscious of. To respect the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tilka hududullah. These are the limits of Allah. Allah will say what? Fala taqrabuha, wala ta'tazuha. Do not go near it. Do not go beyond it. So we have to respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our deen. But the one who knows that, I'm not going to play with the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I say I divorce, I mean I divorce. Such a person is left to him to decide whether to do or not to do. Though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as our creator, wants us to do a kind of sulhu in whatever transpires between us and our wives. So, and that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, وَسُلْءُ خَيْرٍ. To do sulhu is better. And when we say sulhu, then compromise. It's either the wife is compromising or the husband is compromising. And frankly speaking, we cannot leave this world without compromise. You have to compromise. Without compromise, you can't leave this world. Because you as a man, you are not perfect. And the woman as a woman is not perfect. So the man will have to compromise some things because of what some things that he's enjoying in the woman. And the woman will have to compromise some things because of some of the things that she's enjoying in the man. But okay, I want to have my rights complete. Okay, you are free. But that could lead to what? Break up. And if it is to break up, are you ready to face the consequence? If you are not ready, why dabbling into that? So these are things that you ought to think about very well. So the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are very, very important to take note of and to respect. So pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in the knowledge of the deen, and may subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on his path. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك.